to the top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, the very top line. The Gemara was in the middle of asking a series of questions on the Mishnah, and the Gemara is asking comparing and contrasting the Mishnah here in Beta versus the Mishnah in Shabbos about Ein Mefan and moving the four or five boxes around a person's house in order to make room for either people to learn or to make room for Achnas Orchim. So the Gemara is asking yet a different question, but on that same Mishnah in Masechah Shabbos, the Mishnah says as follows. Again, the Gemara is going to ask a series of questions until around like almost 20 lines down, and then end with the Teku, just to let you know, just to ruin the end for you. So the Gemara says, Hasam Na'ad Tanan. Over there in the Mishnah in Masechah Shabbos, it teaches us also. Avalos Otsar. When you're moving the four or five boxes, you're allowed to move up until as much as five boxes. You cannot, if the five boxes are the only ones there, and in which case you're going to end up clearing out the oats or clearing out the storage house, then it's not permitted. You have to at least leave something, one box behind. The Amar Shmuel comments, my aval lo es oter. What does it mean you can't do the oter? Aval lo yigmar es oter, kula. Like I just said, you cannot completely turn over the oter to make room. You have to leave at least one or two boxes there. Why? Dilma asil ashuya gumos, because if you cleared out the whole storage house, you have to remember their ground, their floors were dirt. It wasn't tile, it wasn't wood. So if you moved all the boxes, there's a concern the guy might start sweeping and leveling out their floor. And they might have some holes or some little dips in the ground. They want to even it out. And evening out is going to be a problem of bone or chorish, one of the two, depending inside or outside. We're talking about inside, so I guess it's going to be an issue of bone. You cannot level out the ground. So Gemara wants to know, Hachamai, what about here? What about our situation where the guy had the rooftop? He was lowering down the various fruits on his roof, so it doesn't get ruined. He's trying to dry them out. What's the halacha here? So the Gemara says, Hachamai, what's the halacha in regards to Yontif? So Hasam hu b'Shabbos de Asr Mishim de Chamer. When it comes to Shabbos, with Shabbos is much more machmir, so we say it's Asr. Well, Hacha de Kil, the Yomtiv rather, Hava Yomtiv, de Kil Shapir Dami, but Yomtiv is certain malachas are permitted, so this is also permitted. One's allowed to move all the things from his house, and there's no concern that he might level it out. Oh, Dilmar, perhaps you're going to say differently. Hasam dika bit the base medrash amr slo. When it came to Shabbos, the Mishnah and Shabbos, we did not permit it, even in the face of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Ha'acha the lack of bit the base medrash lo kol shekein. Here, when there's no bit the base medrash at all, we're going to permit you just for a hefsid moment. We're going to permit the guy to turn over his whole storage house. So certainly not. So kol shekein, that's going to be usher in our case. V'ha'acha tanan. Now here, a different question. The Gemara says tanan mashilin peros derech aruba b'yomtuf. They permit you to lower down the fruit from your roof on Yontif, v'amar Rav Nachman lo shano ela b'osa agag, aval gag lo. They only permitted you to remove it from your roof, but to move it from your roof to an adjacent roof, that is not permitted. V'tayin nam yahachi, b'risa, which supports the statement, you can't move it from one roof to the next roof. Ein metaltan migag l'gag, afilu kishigag osein shavin. So even when the rooftops are equal, you cannot move it from one to the next. So Rashi explained, because there's tircha involved. Right, Rashi, you see Rashi Rafilu Begago saying, he says, Shoshne Batim Shavin, She'ein Zegavo Mizeh, She'hi Sham Torach Valib Yerida. Even though there's no tircha going up and down, it's somewhat equal, they still asserted it. I'm not sure why it's asserted it. That's the reason why you would think maybe it should be mutter, because there is no tircha. And in the end of the day, it's asser even to put it on two adjacent roofs, so you can't move it from one to the next. So that's Asr. So Hasamai, what about the case of Shabbos? Let's say the roofs were next to each other. Are you allowed to move it from one to the next? So Hacha hu da Asr mishim Yomtov da Kil va'Asr lezilzulei bay. Maybe only by Yomtov is it Asr to move it from one roof to the next roof, because Yomtov itself has certain kulas, namely its ochel nefesh is permitted. So therefore, they're concerned that you're going to disgrace it further. They have to make some chumras to balance it out. Aval, but when it came to Shabbos, the chamir, where it's already, everyone knows Shabbos is a pretty chamir. It doesn't have to have any compensation, because everyone really knows and treats Shabbos properly. Shapir dami, so maybe then you would be allowed to move it from one place to an adjacent roof. That would be permitted. Oh, then, or perhaps one would say, ma hachad ika hefsid peros amris lo. In our case of Yom Tov, where there's a massive loss of money because all your dried up fruit's going to be ruined, so we permitted it. So we said no, rather. But here, when there's a no hefset at all, so then there wouldn't be a heter at all. Even when, again, but Yom Tov, where there's a hefset mamon, and we still don't permit it. So certainly, in the case of Shabbos, where there is no hefset mamon, you're not losing anything in the boxes. You're doing it for the purpose of opening up space, but not for the food that's in the boxes. Certainly, there one would not be allowed to move it from one rooftop to the next rooftop. So then the Gemara asks it another question. Tanan, we'll read the parentheses. It says there, Halcha Tanan, here it's written, Lo yishalshlim b'cheva chalonos. It's written in a brisa, maybe a mishnah later on, I'm not sure. A person should not lower down with a rope into the windows. Lo yoridom derech sulamos. And nor should a person lower them down on ladders. The only heter was to put it through a skylight, drop it through the window on top. But not a side window, not a ladder either. So that's halacha here. Not in our mishnah again. It's either in a brisa or a mishnah later on. I don't know. So the mishnah Gemara says, "Hasam my. What about over Shabbos? Are you allowed to remove them from a ladder, remove them from windows in the case of Shabbos? Halacha b'yom tov hu de'aser de'leka bitul beis medrash. When it came to Yom Tov, it's aser. There's no bitul beis medrash involved. About Shabbos, the bitul beis medrash, shapir dami. But maybe with the heter, for the purpose of learning the space for the beis medrash, maybe one would be allowed to remove the food, the boxes through a ladder or through the windows. Oh, Dilmor, perhaps hasam deika hefsid peros amris lo hasam leka hefsid peros lo kol shekein. When it comes to Yom Tov, where there's a massive loss of money, we said you still can't do it through the windows. You can't do it in the ladders. But when it came and it's aser. So when it comes to Shabbos, where there's no hefsid mamon, certainly it should be aser to do those ways. These are the bunch of the questions. The Gemara ends with a taker. We don't know. We don't have any answers to the above questions. Okay. Now the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, another option you could do if you have fruit drying out on your rooftop and you see the clouds are starting to come in, it's about to rain, so you could either take down the fruit or you could cover up the fruit. So the Mishnah says, the Gemara quotes, Mechatanes aperos. You could cover the fruit up with some type of clothing or towels so it doesn't get drenched and ruin your raisins. So Amar Ula says, Afilu avira delivne. You can even use avira delivne, which Rashi tells us it's a little bit higher up than when we are in the Gemara. Afilu avira delivne. Levenim hasadurna umuksin lebinyan. You have a bunch of bricks piled up and they are set aside for using for building. Ugishamim notfinu. And the rain begins. You don't want the bricks to get ruined from the rain. So I'm not sure how they get ruined exactly because the bricks are going, I guess they're indoor bricks only, maybe, I don't know. You could take clothing, towels, and cover up these bricks as to not ruin the bricks. We don't say, we'll see in a second what that means. So Ula says you can cover bricks, even though the bricks themselves are muksa, you're allowed to cover the bricks. Now, why wouldn't you be able to cover the bricks? You're not moving the bricks. The bricks are leaving the side. You're moving the towel. The towel is a muksa. So let's look at the next opinion in the Gemara. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Peres Haru'uyin. No, you're only allowed to cover the fruit on the rooftop, like the Mishnah says, because the fruit themselves are mutter. But you can't cover something that's muksa. You can't cover the bricks. And that's based on the klal. If you look at the next Rashi, Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, this is Gemara in Shabbos, if you remember from the second parak, Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Dafka Peros Haruin Letaltel, only fruit which are edible and movable. Who Desharu Rabbanon Letaltel Kalim Letarchon. You could use Kalim to cover up the fruit. Aval Midi De La Bartitel, Eno Kli Nitel Letarchon. But something that's not movable, something that's muksa like these bricks, you cannot take a Kli for the purpose of a non movable Kli, for a muksa Kli. That's the Machlokas. Again, can you take a Kli to cover up something muksa or not? So again, even though I'm not moving the actual muksa thing, since I am serving the muksa item, I'm not allowed to use another kli to serve the muksa item. That's the machlokas between Ula and Rabbi Yitzchak. And the Gemara says, Azda Rabbi Yitzchak Latame, Rabbi Yitzchak has his reasoning in general, because what does he hold? Dama Rabbi Yitzchak, Ein kli nital elo davar nital b'shabbos, because he holds you could only move a kli for the purpose of another non-muksa item. But for a muksa item like the levenim, that's aser, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, and Ula argues. So now the Gemara is going to go through a series of proofs whether or not we hold, which way we hold. Says the Gemara, Tanan, our Mishnah teaches us, Mechasenes aperes b'kelim, you're allowed to cover up our fruit with fruit lying down on your roof. You could cover it up from to protect it from the rain. Peros in avir d'levnei lo. The Mishnah says only fruit. But something that's not fruit, something that is muksa, like these levenim, would be aser. Says the Gemara, no. Hu adin dafi lavia delivine. Even for muksa items, you could cover up. You could even cover up the bricks. The idea that Tana Reisha Mashilin Peros, Tana Seifa Nami Mechasin is a Peros. Since the Reisha, the Mishnah was talking about, you are taking down fruit from the roof, so it was talking about fruit, so even the Seifa, it spoke about a case of covering up the fruit. Einach Nami, you can cover up the bricks as well. Because when it comes to moving the fruit, you couldn't move the bricks. And the first option was you have fruit on the roof. You can move fruit, but you couldn't move bricks. So that is Dafka fruit on the beginning of the Mishnah. The Sefer is talking about covering. Einach Nami could be talking about covering the bricks as well. But since the subject of discussion was fruit in the beginning, they maintain the consistency of talking about fruit in the end, but not to say that you can't cover up bricks. So therefore, that's not a proof. Says the Gemara further. It's Tanan. V'chein kadei yain v'chein kadei shemen. This is the end of the Mishnah also, that you could cover up a jug of oil or a jug of wine, so make sure no water gets inside of it. Halcha b'mayaskin. And what are we talking about here? B'tivla, we're talking about shemen and yain that is tevel, and tevel that you cannot eat, it's considered a muksa. So you see, you're allowed to cover up muksa items, so you could cover up bricks. So Gemara says, Hachanami mestavra, it's certainly talking about something that's tevel. I mean, it's pretty random to say we're talking about tevel. How does the Gemara know we're talking about specifically tevel oil and tevel wine, where you can't eat it and it's muksa? Because the Gemara explains, if you're talking about edible wine and oil that already has been tithed, so then it's mutatit, hotani la reisha peros. So we already taught in the beginning peros, which are edible. So what's the chiddush by giving another example? Oh, also, if there's edible wine, edible oil, that's also able to be covered. That's obvious. So it must be talking about a chiddush, which is even when it's usher, when it's still tevel, you are allowed to cover it up. And the Gemara rejects this and says no. Kadei yayim, kadei shemen, itzirich le. You still need to teach that specific case. Because sakadaita chamina, you would have thought, lehefsin meruba chashashu, lehefsin muat lo chashashu. That maybe only by the case of the fruit where there's a large number of raisins on your rooftop, or not yet raisins, but grapes turning into raisins, or figs turning into dried figs, where there's a big loss of money, then they permit you to cover it up. But something that's not so big a loss, a small kad, a small jug of wine, a small jug of oil, not so expensive, so then maybe they said you're not allowed to cover it up. Kamash v'lano, even when it's a small hefsin mamon, there's a heter to cover up the kadi yayin v'kadi shemen, but ein hachanami, we're talking about where it's already been, the mice or chuma has already been taken from it, and therefore there's no proof that you can cover up muksa items. Further, the Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah also, Tanan, nosin kli tachas adilaf b'shabes. You could place a bucket under a drip, and you have a little leak in your ceiling, you could place it underneath the leak on Shabbos. So this too also. So the Havmina is, Rashi says, what's the Havmina? Look at Rashi, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 narrow lines up from Rashi. Really, 7 narrow lines. Nosin. Nosin kli tachas adilaf, explains Rashi. Hareisha kli nital lakabel b'muksa. Who's going to drink the water that's coming from the rainwater that goes through your ceiling? That's disgusting. That's muksa. So we see, yet you're still allowed to put a kli underneath it. You're moving a bucket for the purpose of a muksa item dripping from your ceiling. So you're allowed to use a kli for the purpose of a muksa item. And the Gemara rejects this and says, no, we're talking about bedilaf haroi, where it's a water that's drinkable. Rashi explains the next one, bedilaf haroi shehein slulin. It's clear water. Ruin l'habehema, and you could give it to your animals. So that's what I told you yesterday, that I asked Rosh Hashanah this question before I knew this Gemara. You know, if you have a leak in the ceiling, I knew the halacha ain't kli nital el tzarech kli acher. You only have to use a kli for the purpose of another kli. I wasn't sure the status of water leaking from my ceiling that one time. So I don't remember what I did, but after Shabbos I had asked Rosh Hashanah, he said, no, you're allowed to use it because the water is drinkable for an animal. So you're quoting from this Gemara and this Rashi here. But the question is, what if you don't have an animal? I don't have an animal. So does it become... L'chorah, he knew I didn't have an animal, I guess. But either way. So you're allowed to, it's not considered muksa, as long as the water is something that a dog would drink. I imagine a dog or a cat would drink rainwater. Says the Gemara further, Tashma, porsin machatelas agavi levim. You could spread out some type of cloth, a mat, over bricks. B'Shabbos, on Shabbos. So, the bricks are subject to building. It's muksa. So you're allowed to use a kli for something muksa. Says the Gemara, no. We're talking about the isim ibinyana. It's leftover. If you already built your house, you have some leftover bricks. It's no longer designated for the building. D'chazi l'mizgalayu, that's something you're able to lie down on. The Gemara uses this example all the time, that bricks you could use to lie down on. So it has a purpose. It's not proof that you could use a kli for a muksa item. Says the Gemara further, Tashma, another brisa. course, in Machatzelos Agavi Avanim B'Shabbos, you can place them over rocks. Now, rocks are certainly moksa. What heter use is there for a rock? Says the Gemara. Special types of rocks that were used for toilet paper, so therefore it had a purpose, and that's why you could cover it up. But a regular rock in Echnami, you couldn't. Toshma Agmar attempts to bring another proof. Porcin machatzels agave kores. I think kaveris is pronounced right. I'm not sure. Kormei kores. There's no two vavs there. If I get it right, once I have it here. Yeah, kaveris. Yeah, okay. Kaveris devorim, the Shabbos. You're allowed to cover up a bee's nest or the honeycombs of the bees. The Shabbos bechama, nifnei chama, in the summer times because of the summer. Ubikshamim bnei gshamim, and in the rain, you season from the protected from the rain. Ubilvad shlo yiskavin latzud, as long as you don't have any intentions of capturing these bees, because that would be an issur deraisa of tzad, so you could cover it up. So we see the beehive that smokes. So what heter uses their beehive? So Gemara says, no, but there's a heter because it's a case where hosam nami dika dvash, there's honey inside. So I'm protecting the honey. I'm not really protecting the bees. I'm not protecting the honeycomb, which is also, I'm protecting the honey that is there, and that's what it's talking about. Says the Gemara, Amar lei Rav Ukva Mimishan, Rav Ashi, Hatinach b'yumosachama dika dvash. I understand in the summer months when the bees are so active and there is actually honey there. So then you'll have to cover it up. But there's no honey in the rainy season. In the winter, the bees aren't active. They're sleeping, whatever they're doing. I assume they're sleeping. Do they hibernate? I don't know. They're not very active. There are not so many bees outside in the winter. So they're not doing anything, so there's no honey there. So why do you have to cover it in the rainy season? So the Gemara says, Lo nitzach el osan shtei chalos. So it's only talking about the two chalos. Apparently the way it works is, the Gemara says this a few times, and I once read an article about this, I think Rabbi Center from the Kafke, I think he has a whole, has a whole bee thing, or has a, once an article I read in the Mishpacha, that you have to save over from season to season two chalos, but I'm not sure, what's the English word? Honeycombs. So two honeycombs, all of them, you have to keep them with the bees inside them to keep it, maintain it from year to year. You keep it covered up, and then the next season they start up again. So in order to keep it going, you keep two honeycombs to keep the bees somewhat active through the winter season. So even in the winter season, there are these two honeycombs that are there, and that's not muksa, that has honey in them. That's why it's permitted to cover them, because it has something heter in it. They're not considered muksa. So Gemara says, what do you mean, osen shtei chalos muksa sein? Gemara says, they're muksa, because I guess you don't have a mind to take from them. You're just protecting them throughout the year. You don't have a mind to eat from them. You want the bees just to stay somewhat active. So Gemara says, no, it's a case where you thought about them, I guess where you had in mind that maybe if a person gets hungry in the winter, he'll be willing to take some of the honey from this. So it wasn't muksa, it wasn't designated exclusively for the bees. It was also meant for people, if man was hungry, he could take from it. So it's not considered muksa. And that's why you have to cover it up, even in the winter. But if you never had in mind for an adam, you only wanted to keep it aside, to keep the bees active and leave the man away from it, then echanami, mai, would be asr. So Gemara says, wait a second. If there's a distinction now, whether you had in mind to use it or not in mind to use it, Adatani, the Gemara should have made this very distinction in the Brayis itself. Because Adatani, Ubilvan Shleish Kavin Latsud, the Mishnah already made a qualification that you're only allowed to cover up the honey, the beehives and the honeycombs, if you don't have in mind to capture it. But if you have in mind to capture the bees, then it'll be usher. So there's a distinction. So once we had that distinction, why does the Gemara make, or the Mishnah make, a second distinction and say, Liflug, Velisnai, have a second distinction? Bidida, Bimad, Vimamurim, when is this true? Shechish Valeh, and only when you had in mind for man to take the honey from it. Avalo Chish Valeh, but if man never had in mind to take from it, then Enechanam would be usher. So why didn't the Gemara, why didn't the Mishnah make yet a second distinction? So I said to the Gemara, Hachikama, this is what, how the Mishnah should be read. Even if a person did have in mind to take from the honey, and it wouldn't be muksa, it was still ubilvad shlo yiskavin latzud, that a person should not have in mind to capture the bees. So the Gemara says, wait a second. But my okimta, kabihuda, dishle muksa, why are we saying that this whole Mishnah about the catching of the honey is in accordance with Rabbi Huda, who holds a muksa? Amasefa, look at the end of the Mishnah we just read. Ubilvad shleish kavin latzud, that as long as you don't have kavana. But even if though you catch it, as long as you don't have kavana, it's mutter. It's a davar sheinu miskavin. And who holds davar sheinu miskavin is mutter? Asin the Rabbi Shimon Damar, davar sheinu miskavin mutter. So the Reisha holds of Rabbi Yehuda, who thinks Muksa is a problem. The Seif, who says Davar Shena Miskavin is Mutter, again, meaning even though the bees might be caught, as long as I don't intend on catching them, that's Mutter, that goes according to Rabbi Shimon. So it's Machlokas, who's the author of the Mishnah. The Tizvara, wait a second, Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, he permits Davar Shena Miskavin, but what he doesn't permit is V'ha Abai V'Rava D'Amri Tavaya, both of them are of the opinion, Modi Rabbi Shimon B'Psik Reisha V'lo Yamos, that even Rabbi Shimon, who permits Davar Shena Miskavin, when it's a P'sik Reisha, when it's something that's inevitable, that's going to happen, if I'm going to cover up, seal up this honeycomb on Shabbos, this beehive, certainly B'Vadai, there's going to be bees caught. So Rabbi Shimon won't permit that when it's a P'sik Reisha, when it's V'Vadai going to happen. So even for Rabbi Shimon, even if you want to contend that Rabbi Shimon's the author of this Mishnah, it's not a classic case of Davar Shena Miskavin. It's a case where it's a P'sik Reisha, where even he would say it's Aser. So there seems to be something a little bit strange about the Mishnah. So Gemara says, no, Li'olam, really, I'll tell you what's going on. Li'olam Kula Rabbi Yehuda. Really, Rabbi Yehuda is the author who holds of Muksa, and that's why you can only cover it up if there's honey there. V'hacha b'mayaskinan di'isbe koi. Where there are, Rashi says, the chalonos yesh bedafnos se. There are some windows. V'lotema Rabbi Yehuda. So it's a case where you're not capturing it, really. There are ways out for the bees to go. You're just covering the top, so the rain or the heat doesn't get from the top. But the side, where there are other ways for the bees to get out, it's not a psik ratio at all. But lo tame Rabbi Yehuda, v'vavad shlo yishkavin latzud, it shouldn't read, the Mishnah does not read, it's not supposed to read, and as long as you don't intend to catch it, that's not what it's meant to say. It's not a davar shena miskavin issue at all. Ela ema u'bilvad shlo yasenu mitzuda, as long as you don't make a full trap to catch it. So meaning, Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to cover it up, protect it from the sun. You could cover it up to protect it from the rain, as long as you don't make a full mitzuda, a full trap, and catch the bees inside. So Gemara says, wait a second, pshita, that's pretty obvious. Of course you can't make a mitzuda. We know the halacha. Tzad is one of the 39 halachas that's aser on Shabbos, on Yantif. So why would you have to have a reminder, oh, just don't make a trap? Of course you can't make a trap. But it's a chiddush. The Gemara says, Mal, the same, what would you have thought? Bimino natzad aser, shelo bimino nitzad mutter. Maybe you would think only by a type of animal that gets normally caught would be aser to catch. But an animal that does not normally get caught, people don't catch bees, maybe that would be mutter to catch them. Because I'm not catching it to use the beetle, I'm just catching it for some other reason. To protect myself or just protect the honey, but nothing to do with the beetle. Maybe that would be mutter. K'mashmalan, even when it comes to something that ain't mino tzad, that doesn't normally get caught, there's still an iser tzad involved in that. Now this becomes part of a discussion when it's talking about a type of animal, such as mosquito, for example. Nobody catches mosquitoes. They're a terim. Since they say it's only an iser derabanan here to catch a bee, and so it's only an iser derabanan to catch any other type of animal or bug that does not get caught. In the case of tsar, let's say there's a child around that might get a breakout from a bee or from a wasp or from a mosquito. There are terim to catch them, and get rid of them in order to prevent any tsar. Okay, so says the Gemara, Rav Ashi Amar. Now Rav Ashi takes a completely different approach to our Mishnah, to that Mishnah about the bees. Rav Ashi Amar, Mika Tani Bia Mosag Shachama. Does the Gemara ever actually say they were talking about during the rainy season and during the sun, the summer? Do we ever say that? It says bechama b'pnecham. It says in the sun, but you could cover up the honeycomb and the honey, the bee's nest, in the sun because of the heat. U'bishamim b'pnecham, and in the rain because of the rain. Not in the rainy season, but when it actually rains out and when it's actually sunny out. And what's it talking about? One second. We're talking specifically about a time period, an area, the season of Nisan and Tishrei, where it could be hot, it could be rainy, where both of them exist. So we're not talking about throughout the winter season, throughout the summer. Dafka, Nisan, and Tishrei, where there still is honey, and it sometimes rains, and sometimes it gets really, really hot, then you have to cover it up. But during the winter season, where there's no honey there, you would not be allowed to cover it up. And it's not, that's what it's talking about. Not where you save the two chalas, those two honeycombs, in a chanami you wouldn't be able to cover up the bee's nest in the winter. Okay. Continues the Gemara now and says, "V'nosin kli tachas adilaf b'shabbos." A person is allowed to place a bucket below a drip in the ceiling. Tana, im nismali akli, if the kli fills up, the bucket fills up, what are you supposed to do? Shofech, you could pour it out somewhere where there's no grass, I guess, down the pipes, or give it to your animal. Vishone, and you could repeat it again and put the bucket back below to get the rest of the leak. Veinu nimna, and you shouldn't hold back. Rashi says, "Veinu nimna milshanos kol hayom im tzarach l'kach." And don't hold back, and don't try to be such a chassid. Don't repeat it. There's no restrictions at all. You could continue to do this throughout the entire day and keep refilling or emptying out the box, the bucket, and put it back underneath the drip. Now, the Beirei Chaya de Abaye, Beirei Chaya was the grinder, the mill of Abaye. Dalof, there is a drip that was falling on top of the Rechaim. And Rashi explained that it was making it very muddy, and it was ruining the, I guess they didn't have as much, the type of bricks they used weren't as strong as ours, so the rain really would ruin the bricks. So, and he didn't have enough, Rashi explained, he didn't have enough kalim to catch the drips. He was running out. He put a bucket, and then he put another bucket, and another bucket. So, Asla Kami de Rabbah, he went to Rabbah, Amar Lei, Zil Aili, the Purcha El Hasam, go bring the Purcha as your bed. Go bring your bed there. And now, your bed now, disgusting rechaim that's there in your bed, where you want to sleep outside. And it's going to get all gross and muddy. And the kalacha graf sharei is anything that's a garbage, you're allowed to move it, vafke, move it away. So, for example, even though, let's say I have garbage in my house, and I'm filling up, and I'm having a Suda Shabbos day, I fill my garbage up, my garbage is all done. And now, my garbage is muksuk, so everything in there, I'm not going to eat anymore. But now I have more garbage on my table to fill up. I'm allowed to empty out my garbage bag to put it outside. It's everything in the garbage is l'chora muksa. I'm not planning on eating it anymore. So you're allowed to because graf sharei, because if I leave the garbage left on my table sitting out there and all the bugs and all the dirt comes, that's graf sharei, so I can move the garbage bag outside to make more room to put garbage in my garbage bag. So here too also, I move my bed, I'm basically changing my bed to outside now, and now I've got this disgusting mill, which is turning into mud, so I can then move the mill. So instead of having to continue to put buckets catching the drip, I can just move the mill elsewhere. So Yosef Abaye starts thinking about this, after asking his Rebbe and getting this psak, v'kakashile v'chiosin graf shirei l'chachila. So he says, wait a second, are you really allowed to make graf shirei l'chachila, create that graf? Anybody left my bed in my bedroom and the mill there, there's no graf shirei, it doesn't affect me. I can move my bed dafka where the mill is in order to create this graf shirei and then having to force to move it out? Is that really permitted? At the Hachi, while he was pondering this question, Nafal Berechaya Debai, his mill, his old Rechaim just crashed and it fell apart. So he said, wait a second, the Amar Tisi Li Davria Demar, this must have happened to me because I went against the psak of my Rebbe Rabbah. I should have listened to him and did what I did. Since I didn't listen to him, I went against what he said. I therefore ruined my Rechaim. So Shechter has a similar story. He, with a crock pot, when using a crock pot on Shabbos, so Rav Shlomo Zalman, without getting involved in all the halachic aspects of it, Rav Shlomo Zalman says one can't use the crock pot that we have, which is completely enclosed. That's not permitted. He thinks it's an issue of hatimana. He only allows you to use a flat one, just like an electric pot, electric plate, and put a pot on top of it, but to enclose it, it's a problem. Rav Shachter said he never understood it. So the first year, I think when he got a crock pot, when he got married, it cracked or broke or something. So he took this as a sign. He went against his Rav Shlomo Zalman, and he doesn't use crock pots anymore, I think, on Shabbos. At least that time, the type that gets completely insulated.
But he would let you. He would let other people.
I never actually... I'm not sure. I don't know. There are definitely certainly haterim for it. Certainly are many haterim for it. I'm not sure what he advises other. It sounds like he thinks it's okay, maybe just for himself.
Yeah,
that's what it sounds like. Yeah, and I never actually asked him what he Psaki gives others on that. That was just a story that I heard from him. Okay, so then the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, Graf Shirei, you have a garbage, the Abitcha Meme Raglaim, a kli used for going to the bathroom, Mutter Lo Tzien LaAshpa. You're allowed to take these out and throw it into the garbage. Uchshumach zero, and when you bring them back to reuse them, nosim b'mayim, umach zero, you could put water in it, flush it out, and return it back. So the Gemara says, Savar minei, the Gemara thinks Graf Shirei Agav Mana In Bifnei Atmalo. Perhaps only when you're carrying the meraglime or any other garbage in a kli could you move it. But to directly move graf, let's say I have mamish garbage in my hand, that you can't move it. And you can only use it with a kli that holds the graf shirei in it. That's the only case that's permitted. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a proof. Dahu achbarta dishtakech bay. They found a little mouse of some sort in the Bay Aspar Maki, the Rav Ashi. What's that? The Bishamim, in the spices of Rav Ashi. And Amar Lahu Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says to, I guess, his attendants, Noke betzutzisa of Afkua, take it by the tail and throw it out the window. So living in Washington Heights for a year and a half, so we have a lot of these. And we had plenty of mouse traps, and you would hear like the thing snapping all night. And so once on Shabbos, we caught one. And I wasn't sure what to do, if you could move it or not, because it was Graf Shirei. I certainly didn't want to touch it, and it was certainly Muksa. So this too, I don't remember. I asked Rav Willig, it must have been after Shabbos, because he wasn't in YU unless he was there for Shabbos that week. I asked Rav Willig after Shabbos, he said you could take it and throw it out in the garbage. I don't remember what I did. I imagine I probably did take it out, because my wife was probably not very happy about it dead, or I'm not sure, dead. Sometimes they weren't dead, they were just simply trapped and squealing without, okay. Either way, so you're allowed to take a mouse or anything else that's disgusting, and just throw it out of your house. Lav dafka by the tail, but it's probably the safest place to grab it by. Okay, new mission. One of the this mission here is a very well known mission and found in Maseches Beitza. The mission says, "Kol shechayiv alav mishum shvus, mishum rishus, mishum mitzvah, the Shabbos chayiv alav b'yamtiv." Anything that you chayiv, or really chayiv doesn't really mean chayiv, because chayiv usually means carbon chatas, your chayiv onshin. These that we're about to list are really only Isur Derbanan, only Shvus. You're not Chayiv and a Shvus. You're Chayiv Makas Mardis, maybe. So these things, which is, I'm going to say, Aser to do on Shabbos, it's also Aser to do in Yantif. So we have three categories here. We said Mishum Shvus, Mishum Rishus, and Mishum Mitzvah. Now, three categories I'll tell you. Mishum Shvus, it's something that's Aser Midirbanan. You can't do it, we'll see. It might lead to violating Isur Der Aser. Mishum Rishus is something that, even though normally there's some type of mitzvah involved, it's asr to do, but it's not a real chiyuv mitzvah, it's like a low-level mitzvah. It's asr to do, so we call that a rishus. And then there's certain mishum mitzvahs, certain mitzvahs that one's permitted to do, but he says asr to do anyways. So the mishnah is going to break down these three categories, what it means mishum shvus, mishum rishus, and mishum mitzvah. So Gemara says, the mishnah rather says, ve'eluhin mishum shvus. The following are going to be a list of things that are asr to do because of a shvus. It's an iser dirabanan. So, what are they? Lo olim be'ilon. A person cannot climb a tree. And the reason is, the Gemara is going to explain all of them, and the reason for this, you might break a branch. You can't even lean on a tree. You can't use a tree in any way. You can't have a hammock that leans on a tree. You can't go up on a tree. Lo rochv na'gavi behema. One may not ride an animal on. And the Gemara is going to explain, because as you're riding, you might grab off a branch from the tree to start hitting the animal. That might lead to breaking a branch. Lo shatan al pnei ha'mayim. You cannot swim. Because, you know, we're so good, we might end up building a boat. And v'lo metapchin, we can't clap with our hands. V'lo mesapkin, you can't clap on your thighs. V'lo meraktin, you can't dance. We already addressed this like a week ago. The Gemara's going to explain, because you might come to fix a cliché, and Tosis writes, nowadays we don't know how to fix a cliché, so there might be a heter to do these things nowadays. We spoke about different shuls have different minhagim. Now the next group is things that are rishus, that have a somewhat of a mitzvah involved, but they said it's asr to do anyways, despite the fact that it's a mitzvah, it's asr to do. Lo dunin, you cannot judge, you can't have a court case on Shabbos. Lo mekadshin, you cannot marry a woman on Yantif or Shabbos. Lo cholzin, lo miyavim, you can't do chalitz, you can't do yubim either on Yantif. And finally, the third category is ve'elohin mishum mitzvah. The following are real, serious mitzvahs, yet you still can't do them. Lo makdishim, you can't create hektesh. Lo marichin, you can't do erchin, which is creating the value that you take upon yourself, the value of myself or the value of some other person. I'm taking upon myself to give to hektesh, different than makdish. Makdish, where I'm makdish the actual item. Erchin is I'm taking upon myself the value of an item to pay to hektesh. Lo macharimim, macharimim is it's a whole halacha. Gemara and erchin talk about being chayrim, making an animal or house into chayrim, where also you are making it into some type of hektesh, but it goes to the base of Migdash, or perhaps goes to the Kohanim, big machlokas, to know how that works. Lo magbin chuma meiser, you can't take chumas and meisers on Yom Tov either. Kol eil b'Yom Tov amru, all these are mentioned by Yom Tov, Kal v'chomer b'Shabbos, and certainly if it's Asr Yontif, so certainly it's going to be Asr and Shabbos as well, because Shabbos has a lot more chomers to it. And ein ben Yomtiv v'Shabbos el ochel nefesh b'vad. The only difference, the one difference that we have between Shabbos and Yomtiv is that Shabbos you can't do ochel nefesh, but Yomtiv you may do ochel nefesh things. So now the Gemara is going to go through each of these cases about Shvus. Lo olin be'ilin gzeir shema yitlosh. A person may not climb a tree, perhaps he might break off a branch. It's a derais of kotzer. Lo rochvin agavi behem, a person may not mount an animal, gzeir shema yata chutz l'tchum. So the concern, he might walk outside the tchum, 2,000 amos. Gemara says, shema mina tchum deraisa. Does this come to teach me that tchum is deraisa? That's a big machlok in the Gemara and Erevin, whether it's deraisa or derabanan. No, Ella, the reason is not because you're going to walk outside the tchum. Rather, gzeir shema yachtoch zemora. You might grab a branch, crack it off on Shabbos as you're riding to hit the animal that you're riding on. That's going to be a violation of kotzer. V'lo shatan al pnei ha-mayim, one cannot swim in the water. Gzeir shema yasecha v'shashaitin. Perhaps you might make some type of boat. So, it's an issue. Well, I would think it's binyan. Rashi actually says a little bit different. You see Rashi, four lines from the bottom. Chavis shel shaitin. Kli shel guma, she'orgin osan v'osan kemin chavis arucha v'medin bo l'ship. So some type of utensil they weave together, which helps a person swim, like a life jacket or something, I'm guessing. It's having an issue of a riga as opposed to binyan. Now, this gets into the whole discussion. Is this true by all? What about a pool? You know, what about a low pool? Can you go into a pool or where the river is not a raging river? It's not so dangerous. So this might only be where there's a river where you really, really need a boat of some sort, or a lake, but perhaps a smaller pool. It might be a hetim ikar din to go swimming, but there's certainly going to be other issues of uvdu d'chol and other violations in swimming in a pool. Another Gemara says, ve'elu hein mishum reshus lo danan. So one of the things we said, which is reshus, which has a partial mitzvah attached to it, you can't do either. One of them was you can't have a court case on Shabbos. I skipped one. Okay. Lo mat tapchim, lo masapkin, lo meraktin. The Mishnah said you can't clap, you can't dance. Gzeir shem yisakin kli shir, because you might come to fix an instrument, which we already addressed. And then, elohein mishum reshus lo danin. V'ha mitzvah kavid. Why not? You're doing a great mitzvah. Why is it called a reshus? It should be a mitzvah. Mitzvah din Torah, isn't that not called a mitzvah? I think the Rambam counts it as one of the minyan mitzvahs. So lo tzricha de'ika adif minei. So it's not a mitzvah because there's one better than that. What does that mean, there's one better than that? That there's a better basin to go to? No. Oh yeah, there is a better dying to go to, therefore it's not called a mitzvah. But if you went to the top dying, then it would be called a mitzvah? Okay, so apparently that's a machlokas tosas here. This long tosas here. He actually says that if you go to the top dayan in the city, the Rabbeinu Tam apparently says that you may go to that din, that dayan, if you want, because there's a mitzvah covered. But the other opinion, I'm not sure that makes sense to me. If the Gemara says the only reason why it's not a mitzvah is because there's someone better, so if you go to the best one, there's a mitzvah, and you perhaps could do that in Shabbos. But what would be the reason why you would think that you can't go even to the top dayan? The Gemara seems to be very strange then. I'm not sure if that's...
It calls it a reshus because most of the time you're not going to the top diet. So if you had to put it in a category, let's put it in the category of reshus.
Uh-huh.
But if you did, in fact, go to the top guy, then it would be
us. Right. And would it be us or mutta, the question would be, though. That's the debate. So that tells us, brings that to machlokas, whether or not you could do that. I guess it's saying, according to what you just said... You're right, even going to the top dine is still going to be usher to do. But the reason why the Mishnah refers to as a reshus is because most cases you're not going to the top dine, so usually it's a reshus. Even when it's a mitzvah, though, it's still going to be usher. The Gemara doesn't explain why it's usher, though. It just says why we call it a reshus. So if you understand why it's usher, perhaps you might write down the dinim. Let's just see why they explain it's usher. Let's see. Probably explain on the Mishnah why it would be Aser. No, it does not explain. My guess is because it probably looks, you might write down the various tainos and the psak halacha of some sort. For some reason, I think that's written somewhere. I don't know why I'm not remembering it. Take one quick look here.
Another thing. I think Lamar says something about it.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know if it's just by this.
Okay, so we'll be patient then. Okay. So then, the final case of the Gemara, lo mekadshin, and this is a very important halacha, v'ha mitzvah kavod. So you're doing a mitzvah, so why does the Gemara call this a reshus? If it's kedushin, you're getting married.
The Gemara says next time.
Okay. So Gemara says, well, again, why do we categorize kedushin? You can't marry a woman. Kedushin on yantif, isn't it a mitzvah? It's not a reshus. Rashi explains, top bottom Rashi, lo mekadshin ha mitzvah kavod. Shenosa isha lefaros l'rabos, v'may kakar l'rishus. So what's the, put you in the spot, what's the chiddush of Rashi here, or what's the assumption here? Assumption of Rashi is that, what's the mitzvah?
Dafka peruvu is the mitzvah.
Ah, right, dafka peruvu is the mitzvah. Big machlokas in Gemara Ksubis, the Rambam, Rush, and others, that no, the kedushin itself might be considered a mitzvah, not the kedushin, not necessarily a hechetimtze, a hechshav peruvu. Rashi clearly says here, no, it's a hechshav peruvu, like the opinion of the Rush. That's why the Rush explained that the bracha of Erisin is the bracha shech vada. Other Rishonim hold no. The actual kedushin is a mitzvah, and the bracha Erisin you saying kedushin is a bracha mitzvah. So that's what the other approach to this Gemara. But then the answer to Gemara seems to support the opinion of Rashi, because the Gemara says no, there is no mitzvah here. Lo tzich, we're talking about a situation to isla ishebanim where he already has a wife, who already has children, who already has been yotzei mitzvah peruvu. There's no longer a mitzvah. Had he not had that children yet, had he not been married, in Echlami there would be a mitzvah to perform kedushin. It would be considered a mitzvah. But again, as Rashi would say, the kedushin itself isn't the mitzvah. It's rather it's a hechatimsa to perform the actual mitzvah of peruvu. Now we do have a few minutes left because this issue of kedushin is a whole interesting discussion now about giving presents and being mafker things on Yontif on Shabbos. We already established you can marry someone on Yontif, and the reason being, the Gemara is going to explain, because it's like Mecha Chomemkar. It's like you're doing a purchase, a sale, you're buying and selling something. So the question is, are you allowed to give a Matana on Shabbos and Yontif as well? It's also Mecha Chomemkar. So we normally assume that it's us to give Matanos. Like I remember when I was 13, so you get your Bar Mitzvah Sefer on Shabbos, the rabbi calls you up, I like to call Yoni Levin up to the podium here, I like to present him with the Sefer, which I was Zocha for him from before, for Erev Shabbos for him now, which I don't know what he meant at the time. But what it means is that, because he was Zocha, he gave it to somebody else, on behalf of me, to be Zocha for me. Could you Zochan Adam Shalom Bafanov? So if someone does a, you know, someone could collect the present on my behalf, even though I never pointed him Shiach, even though I never knew about it, if it's something beneficial to me, a Sefer, at the point in time, it was probably beneficial for me, even though I didn't know it. So when he Zocha it for me, it's going to be Zochan Shalom Bafanov. That works. So, but why can he give it to me on Shabbos itself? Well, just give it to me. Matana is so problematic. So they say, but just like Kedushin's Aser, Kedushin's a former Mekach Memkar, so too Matana's Aser as well. We find sometimes that we allow Matana to be given on Shabbos and Yom Tov. For example, let's say you didn't, you have a Kli, a brand new Kli, and you forgot to Tovel at Erev Yom Tov, Erev Shabbos, and you really wanted to use it. So you already learned all the lachas. You can't be Tovel Caleb on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So one of the Hetayim are, give it to your housekeeper as a Matana. But you can't give him a Matana. So for Tzorach Mitzvah, you're allowed to do it. For the Tzorach of the Suda, you're allowed to give him a Matana. That's an example where we permit it. Now, the there are other Achronim who say, no, it's also even to give, it's Mutter to give a Matana in all situations. Just like the situation of giving a Matana for the purposes of a Mitzvah, you're allowed to give him a Matana Stam. You could give the Sefer to the Bar Mitzvah boy, even on Shabbos and Yom Tov if you wanted to do that. So he says, but isn't there a Rambam that writes it's also to give a Matana on Shabbos? So the Rambam is talking about a case of kark only. I'm talking about land. Giving land over is us because you have to use a sudar, a chalipin, a different type of kinin involved. But to give something over, metaltim, that's mutter according to all opinions. So that's the machlokas posting. We generally paskin it's us to give matanas on Shabbos unless it's for the purpose of a mitzvah, such as, again, tfias kalim for your suda, or even a lulav dalaminim, a lulav an esrog. What happens is you come home, you own the dalaminim day one. And to say the bracha on day one, you have to have lachem. So you buy for yourself, but you don't buy for your wife, let's say. So I get home. My wife, she needs lachem now to be able to be kone the to say the bracha on the first day. So you give her a present of the dal minim on day one. Now she could own it, and she could shake the lulav and give it back to you for you to own. You could give matana when it comes to mitzvahs. Now the Mishnah Berurah says even though they're hetayim to use to give matanas in the purposes of the tzarech mitzvah, Mishnah Berurah writes is only permitted with derech mishicha. But to do kinyan suda or any other type of kinyan, that may not be done on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Only handing it over. I'll say one other halacha, two other halachas, in terms of being mafkir. They also bring this in terms of, could you be mafkir an item on Shabbos or Yom Tov? So that's also a big machokas. We already talked about this way back when, almost a year ago, when we did Pesach in the beginning, spoke about Bittel. So they say that, let's say, Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, and you have chametz in your house. So what are you supposed to do? You're allowed to be mafkir your chametz. They say you can be mevata. I should say you can be mevata your chametz. They say just like you can be mevata chametz on Shabbos, so you can be mafkir any other items if you want it to be mafkir. They say no, that's not a proof. Because Ramban says bittel chametz does not work mitam hefker. Bittel is different than hefker. You could do bittel. Bittel works through another way. But hefker is a completely different type of halacha. Hefker is not allowed. Right. The truth is, hefker end up being compared to hektish. We said in the Mishnah, hektish is not allowed, so they say hefker is also not allowed. Hektish is similar to hefker. So they talk about what's the connection from hefker to hektish. So they said just like hektish is me leaving it from my rishus, so if to hefker is leaving from my rishus. Others say there's a big difference though. Hektish goes from my rishus into the rishus of hektish. Hefker just leaves my rishus but never enters into the next person's rishus. So there's a distinction between hefker and hektish. And just finally, the Rabbi Yeager writes that what happens if you find the mitzvah? You're walking in the street on Shabbos and you find something on the ground. Are you allowed to be kone that? Can you take that up and own that? She brings Raz back and forth whether you could do that or not. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman says a person should best to not pick up a lost object on Shabbos for himself. He could pick it up for a Shabbos Aveda. But for him to keep, if it's a case of where it's a mitzvah that has no simon on it, that one cannot pick up. It's best to refrain from doing it on Shabbos. Okay, we'll stop here. Broke.